We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 2 in just a few minutes. But for right now, I just want us to notice that in the book of 1 Thessalonians and also in 2 Thessalonians, we find many grand themes and some very memorable verses. Now, some of the main topics in this book and also in 2 Thessalonians would include, first of all, persecution. These books say a great deal about the persecution of Christians. The church at Thessalonica was persecuted when it started, and yet we find that these Christians had endured, and they were still suffering by the time that Paul writes the book of 2 Thessalonians. So Paul is going to talk about the place of suffering in the Christian life, and he's going to encourage and teach these people that suffering for the cause of Christ is a normal part, a natural aspect of living the Christian life. So watch for the topic of persecution in these books. And then you'll also notice in these books that Paul says a great deal about working, the responsibility to work for a living. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about that, and he tells these people that they need to do their own work and mind their own business, but that they need to work with their own hands and make a living for themselves and for their families. Now, by the time you get to the book of 2 Thessalonians, which of course Paul wrote later to these people, you find that there was a problem. And the problem was that some of these people were not working. And Paul gets on to them about it. As a matter of fact, to show how serious this was, Paul tells them to withdraw fellowship from the people who refused to work. And that brings us to that famous verse of Scripture that if a man won't work, neither should he eat. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. And it was pointed to some of the people in his time. So watch for what Paul says about working in these two books. And, of course, you're going to find that one of the main topics in the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians is the coming of the Lord. And there were some misunderstandings about this, and Paul wrote a great deal about it in both of these books. As a matter of fact, you're going to find it mentioned in every chapter of these books at some point or another. And to some extent or another, you're going to find that he makes reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the longer passage in 1 Thessalonians will be in chapter 4, going into chapter 5. And then, of course, when you get to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter is about that. And then Paul clears up a misunderstanding about it in chapter 2. But this is a major subject in the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. So keep your eye out for all these passages about the coming of the Lord in these books. And of course, there are some well-known verses in these books. We've already made reference to one of them. But this is the book also that says, for instance, that people will say when Jesus comes again, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes upon them. That's chapter 5, verse 3. This is the book that says, pray without ceasing. That's chapter 5, verse 17. And then, of course, when you get to 2 Thessalonians, you find many famous verses there. You find that that is the book where Paul talks about God sending a strong delusion to certain people that is a working of error. That's chapter 2, verse 11. So we have a lot in store for us here. We have a lot of great things to be studying and thinking about. So let's get started in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. And this is where Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers. This is a familiar statement. You're going to see this in many of Paul's books. Oftentimes when Paul opened an epistle to these churches and sometimes to individuals, he said basically the same thing, that he thanked God for these Christian people and that he prayed for these Christian people. Now, I want you to notice what he says in verse 3 because he compliments them here also, just like he does in other books. You find that as Paul opens these epistles, he tells them that he is thankful for them, that he's praying for them, and then he points out some of the good points and qualities of these people and the good works that they were involved in. it's interesting what we have here, and that is we have three things that he mentions in particular in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, that is, I'm always remembering, I'm always aware of, first of all, your work of faith, secondly, your labor of love, and thirdly, your patience of hope. Now think about each one of those. First of all, Paul talks about their work of faith. True faith brings action, because if we truly believe, we'll do something about it. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, you find the expression over and over again, by faith, by faith, by faith. And as you see that expression, you'll see also that the faith of those people caused them to do. It caused them to obey. So by faith, Noah prepared the ark. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jacob, and so forth. They did something. They simply didn't believe in their mind, but they did. They obeyed. That is true faith. These Christians at Thessalonica believed, and it caused them to work for the Lord. So that's the first compliment. Second compliment is their labor of love. Genuine love does the same thing. Genuine, true Bible love is not just a feeling. It is not just talking about it. It is doing. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. These brethren at the church at Thessalonica were people that had true Bible love, and it showed in their labors. Number three, they had patience of hope. You see, the work here that he's talked about in the first part comes from faith, and the labor that he's just talked about comes from love. Now, he talks about patience, and that patience came from their hope. Patience is endurance. It means that you keep going in the Christian life. It means that you do not quit and give up. Now, many Christians lost heart in the first century, and they gave up. They quit. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 22, that Jesus warned about this. Jesus said that some would receive the word with joy, but then he said, when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately they stumble. And that happens to people today as well. Now, what is it that keeps us going? What is it that causes us not to quit as Christians? Paul says it is hope. That gives you the endurance that you need. That gives you the patience that you need. It helps you to keep going, even though there are times when you don't feel like going on. When life gets hard, when there are health problems and family problems and troubles that discourage a Christian to the point that that child of God really doesn't see a whole lot of reason to live on this earth any longer, what is it that sustains us? The Bible says it is patience that comes from the hope of heaven, because the hope of heaven is always there in our hearts. As long as we keep it there, that hope is there. And as Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, it will be our anchor, and it gives us that hope. So these Christians at Thessalonica had a lot of great things going for them. They had this work of faith, this labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now let's notice verse 4 where he says, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Paul said that they knew. Paul and Silas and Timothy knew these Christians. They knew what they had been through. They knew what they were going through. They knew their strength. They knew their dedication. And most of all, according to this verse, they knew their election of God. These people had obeyed the gospel. And as a result, they were the chosen of God. That's what the word elect or election means. Now notice what Paul goes on to say about the power of example, beginning in verse 5. Paul said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, let's notice what Paul says. Paul is going back to the time. He's recalling the time when he first preached the gospel there. Now, that takes you back to Acts chapter 17 that we looked at in the previous lesson. Paul said when that happened, when we first came there to preach the gospel, he says, the gospel did not come to you in word only. Well, it did come in word, didn't it? It had to. Because the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they had to hear the word. And notice also something about their receiving the word and their attitude toward it. Notice what Paul says in this same book in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Look at the view that they had toward the Bible, the gospel. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That is the great compliment that he paid to those people there. But what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, is that the gospel did not simply come to you in word. It also came, he says, in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now, the power here probably refers to the miracles that the Holy Spirit worked through them. You'll find something similar over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, where the Bible says that God was bearing witness, and he talks about the signs and the wonders and the diverse miracles of the Holy Ghost there. That power came through the Holy Spirit. He's talking probably about the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit here, which would in turn give them much assurance. They had assurance from the word, especially the fulfillment of prophecy, but also from these miracles. And they knew that the message that Paul preached was true. But there's something else. And that something else was the example of Paul and Silas and Timothy, the lives of these good men. They did not simply preach the gospel, they lived it. And notice what Paul says. He said, you know, that is, you know how we acted. You know how we lived. And Paul is going to discuss that in detail as he gets to chapters 2 and 3 and also in the book of 2 Thessalonians, especially the fact that they, as preachers, worked with their own hands and that they didn't come in to Thessalonica and take advantage of these people. Paul says, you know what kind of life we lived. And so he says in verse 6, and you became followers of us. Notice that Paul and Silas and Timothy set a good example before these people, and their good example influenced them. They followed, he says. Verse 6, and you became followers of us. In verse 5, he said, you know what kind of men we were. You know what kind of life we lived among you. And all of that had an influence on these people. So they became followers of Paul and Silas and Timothy. And notice in verse 6 also what he says about how they began the Christian life. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, first of all, he says, you received the word. You accepted it, unlike other people. And Paul says something even more complimentary, of course, over in chapter 2, verse 13. But he said, you received the word in much affliction. Now, this is the persecution back in Acts chapter 17. These brethren saw this, and they decided to become Christians in spite of it. And they continued to be faithful regardless of it. They lived and worked and went to church in a city where people didn't like them and where people were still mistreating them. But ironically, in spite of all this trouble, Paul says that they had joy of the Holy Ghost. Their sins were forgiven, they had a peaceful conscience, and they knew that heaven awaited them, and as a result, they were happy.